your core, as a core instructor, your core is going to keep you stable, whether you're running on the road or the trail. But it's going to be more important on a trail because you're going to be twisting in this part, the upper body, you're going downhill, uphill. So you want to make sure you have that core. And my tagline is core is not just abs. Remember that. It is not just your abs. A lot of times people think that core is just our abs. No. It is a whole host of other things we won't get into, but just you need to work on your core as well. That will definitely help with all kinds of running, but trail running, a weak core will cause more problems.
If you are constantly worried about getting injured or you don't know how to get faster as a runner and you want to continue to run for stress relief, then this is the podcast for you. Welcome to Healthy Runner, the only place that provides you with training tips, injury recovery, and prevention tools with actionable strategies by experts in the running industry so you can develop a stronger running body and feel confident that you can overcome any obstacle as a runner. I'm your host, Dr. Dwayne Scotty, avid runner, running physical therapist and coach, educator, founder of Spark Healthy Runner, where we help dedicated runners get stronger, run faster, and enjoy lifelong injury-free running with the perfect online running coach, even if you've been told to stop running with an injury or you think coaching is just for fast runners. Learn more about our signature coaching program at learn.sparkhealthyrunner.com. Every week, we help a runner just like you learn how to consistently get in your mental clearing miles and even hit PRs well into your 40s, 50s, and beyond. Make sure you subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or follow the show on Spotify so you don't miss the next episode. Thanks for joining me. Now on to the show. Are you a road runner who is considering venturing into the trails? Or are you thinking of transitioning into trail running primarily? Then this is the episode for you. Welcome to episode 225 on the Healthy Runner Podcast, where we help you get stronger, run faster, and enjoy lifelong injury-free running. And we're going to be talking about trail running tips for the road runner. And today we have an expert who has done this herself, making the transition from road running to trail running. Coach Kat from our Spark Healthy Runner coaching team is back on the podcast to share really lessons learned that she has gone through herself these past 2 years and working with some other clients who have gone through the same transition as well. This will certainly be an episode that will help you during that transition and as you start to run on trails. Welcome back to the show, Kat. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. And I'm not an expert. I just want to put that out there. I don't classify myself as an expert just yet.
But I'm always
learning.
I got to jump in there because you're going to downplay this, but you are like a student of the game. You are a person who researches things even before you do it. And then you implement and then you continue to research. You continue to modify. You continue to get better at your craft. You've continued to invest in your own coaching. So I am going to call you an expert because you definitely deserve that. And for most of the folks listening to this right now, they're going to be thinking about getting into trail running as like their first step. So you are certainly many steps above those runners like myself. So in my mind, you would be an expert for trail running. If someone who's been trail running for like 20 years, then maybe that's a different story. But you're an expert for this episode.
I'm going to get you on the trails one day. Just mark my words. I am going to get him on the trails. But anyway.
We keep saying that. And I know.
I really will.
It will happen. I know it will happen.
Yes.
All right. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, actually.
Excellent. Yeah. Nice little spring day here in Connecticut. Yes. We have some nice weather. Everything's in bloom. The flowers.
Lots of mud.
The trees are nice.
Mud.
Mud on the trails. Okay.
Yes. Everybody's going to get familiar with mud if you're in New England and running trails. No way around it.
The trees are blooming though. And I know you like trees. And I love trees. And now it's
trees.
Flowering tree season. So they're all blooming here in Connecticut. So it gives you some nice sights. For those that are new to the podcast, do you mind just giving them a little background of who you are and what you do?
Sure. I'm Coach Kat. I work with many runners, all the way from beginner runners up to ultra marathoners. I also am the group exercise coordinator for our local YMCA. So I'm in charge of a lot of fitness classes. I teach fitness classes. Two of my favorites are core class, but also my treadmill. If you look at my other podcasts, you will see treadmill gets mentioned a lot on my term. Okay, I might be an expert on the treadmill. I'm going to go with that.
You're an expert of many things.
So basically, I am the jack of all trades. I really do. I'm an engineer by day. We have a family tree farm. I'm a run coach. I run trails. I run road. You name it.
Yeah. So thank you. That pretty much summarized it. And I would say you're not the type of person, because you know, I like people use that term like jack of all trades, master of nothing. I would almost like argue that you're like master of all trades.
For those who don't know me, I read voraciously, like everything I can get my hands on. And I'm going to tell a story that no one's ever heard and that is probably totally unrelated. Ooh. But when I was younger, everyone thought my mother was a really bad mom because she wouldn't buy me books. The problem is I was reading books about one book every 2 hours. She couldn't keep up with me. So she sent me to the library. I would come home with stats on every topic known to mankind. Like, so I do read a lot. So I try to absorb as much information as I can about every topic. But if I'm really serious about a topic, I will take every piece of information I can, as well as my experience. And that's where I'm hoping to help roadrunners transition into trail running if they would like to.
I love it. And yeah, I guess, you know, segue into, because this has actually been a topic that we had talked about for a while, and I knew that you wanted to share this on the podcast, to share, you know, what you've been learning, right, for these past 2 years. And, you know, what is some of that background and why you decided to even, you know, venture into the trails and start doing some trail running?
Well, I can honestly say my first experience with trail running was a disaster. Coach Lou, always Coach Lou in my stories, convinced me to do a 20-mile trail donut run. The word donut in it got to me. It was in New Jersey. He did the 30-miler. I did the 20-miler. It was two loops around a 10-mile course, and it was hard. It was technical, and I'll get into that. Not really trained. I was training for a road marathon, so I had the endurance. I had some of the hills. Did not have the skills to avoid rocks. Went down, hit a knee. Got up, finished it, swollen knee, not a great experience. My second experience, if anybody is familiar with RemaCon, it was a three-person 95-mile relay. I, for some reason, ended up with the trail parts. Didn't do as well as I wanted to. So the next year, I said, you know what, I'm going to get a little bit more into trails. But before that, I had been training for marathons, two a year. I did a 50K. I did a lot of these road races. And I wasn't enjoying the race itself. I was stressing out way too much. The training was fine, but the stress from the races, I actually hated running races. I was relieved when they canceled races, which is an indicator that something's wrong. So after one of my marathons, I signed up for a trail race. Went in, no expectations. Didn't do great, but I had the most fun I ever had in my life. There was no stress. It was the best feeling I ever had. So that was part of why I decided, okay, next year we're doing RemaCon. I have trails. I really enjoy it. Let me get serious into trail running as much as I can.
I love it. Yeah. So it kind of somewhat happened by accident, by you being falling into it literally during during that run.
I fell.
But I love how it just kind of, you found a new love and passion for running through the trails that was different for you, and, you know, the experience of you growing as a runner and then, you know, doing multiple marathons. So I think a lot of people probably are going to be able to relate to that. And if people have been getting burned out from running and they're not finding as much joy in it anymore, this might be a nice alternative to try. to see if it does kind of spark their interest back in, you know, some of their love for running there. You see what I did there?
I did. I was going to say nice there, but I was good.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So let's go to the basics. Like, what do you even consider trail running?
I consider trail running anything that is not paved or crushed gravel. You know, you can have a very crushed gravel. Say if you're on the Farmington Canal Trail in Connecticut, what's on the side of the paved trail, that's a crushed gravel. I don't really consider that trails, although it can be. I consider trail anything that has, you know, rocks, stream crossing, roots. And it doesn't have to be a lot, but it just is generally an off pavement, off crushed gravel path. That to me is what I technically call a trail. So there may be some discussion on what you call a trail, but for me, it is anything where it is not crushed gravel or pavement. While elevation is usually more common in trail running than road running, it doesn't matter. You have elevation whether you're road running or trail running.
Okay. So if someone was running like in a flat area on dirt, for instance, like that would be considered trail running.
It would be. If it's like almost like a sand or a crushed gravel, it is technically a trail. But mm-hmm. I'm going to get into the technical levels, and now is probably a good time to do that. You hear about trails that are technical, and there's like slightly technical, heavy technical. I call it trip-ability. It is not a real word, but it's how easy it is to trip on something. So if you have a paved trail with one or two rocks that are very clearly obvious, and a couple of rocks and like branches, that's a trail, but you can pretty much see it coming. The greater the technicality, the more rocks, the more stones, the more river crossings, the more mud, the more likely you are going to have to walk or hike fast than run it as you get more technical. Also, it's not always works this way, but generally the more technical trails are also the higher elevation trails. So you're climbing, usually more so than in a slightly lower technical trail. Some terms you might hear is single track, and I'll talk about that. That's basically when you have a very narrow path and one person can run on it, and passing that person, and I'll talk about that too, is a little bit challenging. So we'll talk about that when I get to racing, but a single track you might hear means that it's really good for only one person to run at a time. So you're behind somebody for a long time until you can find an opening. And sometimes that doesn't happen all the time. So that is part of race strategy, knowing your route.
Is there like, you know, etiquette in terms of,
oh yes,
if you're on the trail and let's say you are behind someone and you're on a single track,
I am
let's just say they're going at a slower pace than you. Do you kindly like ask them, be like, do you mind if I pass? Or like, what do you say?
It depends if you're not on the side of a cliff, because you could be, you can, and every Captain America fan, here's your shout out on your left. Okay. If you're a Captain America fan, you will know exactly what I mean by that. If you're not, don't worry about it. You scream, on your left or on your right, depending where you are, you announce yourself. And generally, if they say on your left, you move to the right as much you can so that they can pass you. There are times when that's just not feasible. Luckily, not around here, but if you're out west on some of those very, very high elevation trails, you may not be able to move to the left or right. But you always want to say, or passing. But if you give them a more specific on the left, on the right, most people will know to move to the side and let them go. I keep an eye out for people behind me because I do wear headphones. I know there's some debate on that, but I'm always watching behind me. So if I see someone coming up much faster than me, I'll just stop, move to the side, and let them go. And they'll always say thank you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there is an etiquette. Not okay. Everybody follows it, but it is good practice to do it.
Okay. And I actually, that was actually a term I did know, the single track, even though I haven't been trail running. Because I remember Kim Sankey mentioned yes. that on the trail running terminology episode, which was episode 217. For those that might be interested in checking that episode out, she talked about the single track. And then I know you had mentioned before that if it's too technical, you might be like walking, hiking.
Yes.
Is that the same thing as like trekking, or is like trekking like when you're using the poles?
Usually trekking is, you're using the pole. Okay, you're not going to be doing a lot of running. Okay.
All right.
I don't use poles. I'm not in an air. The races around here out west is much more, you know, a lot different, like the Rockies and stuff like that. Those races like Leadville, there's a lot of major ultras trail running that you do need. The Barkley marathons. If people are more familiar with that, you need poles. So you don't really need them for a lot of the races here. You can use them. I see people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't.
All right. Any other common terms that you think is important for roadrunners to know?
Not really. I mean, there are some things you will that aren't, that we're going to cover that roadrunners need to know about the trail running. Mm-hmm. And it can be a little bit descriptive, but I'll get into that with some of the other topics.
Okay, great. So you know that we're all about strength training in order to run here at Spark Healthy Runner. So are there any other specific strength training tips that you would like to share before those attempt trail running?
Yes. So when I started, I would roll my ankle a lot and it hurt. So Kim Sankey from Inspired Souls podcast was a trail runner who was on our podcast. I reached out to her and I said, look, I want to start trail running. What is the first thing I need to do? I spent 2 to 3 months just strengthening my ankles and calves. I still ran. I ran on the road. Don't get me wrong. But I did single leg exercises like you wouldn't believe. She gave me a whole list, which I've given some people. They're very similar to ours. A lot of it was one leg squats on a Bosu ball. You know, you gradually work up. The one she told me to do, which still scares me, is hopping one leg sideways up a stair.
Wow. Yeah, that's tough. That's challenging.
But and then doing lunges, diagonal lunges, front lunges, back lunges, standing on one foot and throwing a ball to someone and having them throw it back to you and landing on and staying on that one foot. So you really strengthen your ankle mobility. So I did that for 3 months straight. I steadily worked my ankle and my calves for 3 months straight before I attempted trails. And I'll honestly say, I do believe that that paid off.
Nice. Yeah. So ankle kind of strengthening and stability on mm-hmm. one leg, like basically what all runners should do on like a yes. flat surface, right? Like be able to do single leg. For trail running, you mm-hmm. even need more stability because yes. the surface is uneven and you could step on a rock, a root, oh, yep. right? And so you need your muscles to be able to react. And we call that yes. like reactive neuromuscular yeah. control to have like those muscles be able to, you know, prevent your ankle essentially from rolling. So mm-hmm. it's that much more important to take your single leg exercises and now do them on unstable surfaces yes. is what I'm hearing.
There is a progression though. You yes. don't want to start a one-legged Bosu ball squat. The healthy runner, a lot of them we do first. And if you are looking to get into more of the ankle stabilities, we have a whole list of them. And one of us, reach out to your coach, any one of us can give you some additional exercises for that, because you do want a progression. You don't want to just start out doing all these things. I do want to say that so that nobody tries to jump up, hop up the stair sideways, one-legged and get hurt. I really don't want to be responsible for that.
Please do not try that at home.
No.
That was not recommended. Liability statement. We're not taking... Don't try to send us your medical bills.
Exactly. But we do have a lot of exercises as coaches, you know, that we are more than willing to help you with if that is something you're interested in.
Yeah. And I would say even, you know, going back to the episode I did with Dr. Emily about, I have mine right here because I was keeping it under my desk, the Kinesis board, which is a fantastic tool to work on stabilization where you get some of that micro perturbations, we call it, where your muscles have to react. And yeah, I practice my short foot exercise, so my foot stability, and then the Kinesis board is going to work on ankle stability as well. So that's another little handy dandy tool that I keep right under my desk. And when I go from sitting to my stand station, then I first do my little release with my neuro ball, and then I do my ankle stability with my Kinesis ball. So I will definitely drop our Healthy Runner discount in the show notes to wherever you're listening to this, because you can get 20% off any Nobosso products with code Healthy Runner using the special link. Any other strength training tips that you have?
No, just don't neglect your upper body either. You know, because your core, as a core instructor, your core is going to keep you stable, whether you're running on the road or the trail. But it's going to be more important on a trail because you're going to be twisting in this part, the upper body, you're going downhill, uphill. So you want to make sure you have that core. And my tagline is, core is not just abs. Remember that. It is not just your abs. A lot of times people think that core is just our abs. No. It is a whole host of other things we won't get into, but just, you need to work on your core as well. That will definitely help with all kinds of running, but trail running, a weak core will cause more problems.
Yeah, so that makes sense too. Core stability. All right, so just extra emphasis on core stability, ankle stability. Mm-hmm. And then if there's one more I could add, kind of piggybacking off of the episode I did with Coach Lou on downhill running, because if you are doing elevations for trails, you know, quad strengthening would be important if you were doing a lot of downhill running. It's time to take a real quick break. And before I say any more, I truly hope the message so far today has benefited you from either a running or a health standpoint. Maintaining healthy feet is super important in recovery and strength within our six steps to growing as a runner framework. Staying in line with that theme, I wanted to take this opportunity to share with you one of the best partners for foot health, and that is Nobosso, which is a company that is dedicated to redefining what's underneath your feet so you can feel more to move better as a runner. Better stability means better movement, which for us means better running. Nobosso's newest product, the Kinesis Board, features dual sensory stimulation, a micro wobble system, and a single leg platform. This has been a great tool for runners to get in 5 minutes of single leg stability training. And the best part about it is you can incorporate this into your everyday activities, or how I like to use it is as muscle activation prior to heading out the door for my runs. Training balance on one leg, after all, is how we balance during running. And that is why the Kinesis board is designed for one leg at a time. Want to learn how you as a runner can activate, strengthen, and recover from running? Listen to episodes 116 and 212 on the Healthy Runner podcast to learn from Nobosso founder, podiatrist, and human movement specialist, Dr. Emily Splickle herself. You've heard me rave about the Nobosso Splay, the recovery ball, and the textured recovery socks before, and now this is just another tool I highly recommend you add into your runner's toolkit to improve your strength as a runner. These past 2 years, I personally have been on a marathon journey, and I really couldn't imagine my body feeling as good as it does without the assistance of Nobosso's products, which has helped keep me healthy as a runner. Learn more about Nobosos textured products and how they can connect you to your exercises and your running by strengthening your feet and helping you recover from all those miles. Since you're a part of our Healthy Runner community, you will get 20% off all of your orders. Just use the code HEALTHYRUNNER during checkout when placing your order using the special link we have for you in the show notes. Go ahead and give Noboso a try. Your feet will thank you for it. I know mine always do. Now let's get back into this episode. We've taken care, and I love the fact that you mentioned, Kat, that you worked on strength training first for a while to build up the strength in your ankles before you even went out into the trails, right?
Yes.
So like you were making sure you took care of your foundation of the house first.
Yes.
Right? You built that solid foundation. You already had a solid foundation for road running, but now you needed a little different foundation for trail running. So I love that you didn't just like decide one day, like, hey, I'm going to start trail running. And then you reached out to Kim. And then you're like, oh, retrospectively, let me like start to add these exercises in. That you were proactive. Mm-hmm. That's what I love about you. You know, you did your research, you were proactive, you implemented the exercises, and then you started doing the trail running. So yeah, I think that's like something you mentioned quickly, but I'm highlighting it because I would highly recommend those of you who are starting trails to do the same.
And I still ran. Don't get me wrong. I still did all the regular road running. It doesn't mean you can't run. So, you know, it just was an addition to my regular routine, let's say.
Yeah. And let's talk. So now we did some strength training. Now we're like ready to go into the trails. But you're like, wait, I might be out there for a while. And like, I'm in the woods. Like, do I need any specific gear?
All right.
You know, are there specific gear recommendations that you have for trail running?
Well, runners like gear. So what do we need versus what do we want? Okay. I will say, if you are not sure about trail running, don't invest in too much gear. You're going to need, you start with non-technical trails. So very flat, limited amount of rocks. You can use your your road shoes. If you have a hydration vest or a pack, you can use that. That will be sufficient initially for you. You're not going to be out, hopefully, on a trail. If you're going hiking, you know, but you're not going to be out there, hopefully, for a long time. But say you really want to get into trail running, you've done the strength training, you really like it. I have two different pair of trail running shoes, which are completely different. Now, I don't advocate one pair over the other. I'm just going to give you my road running shoes are ASICS, GT1000s. I've used those for marathons, everything. My trail running shoes are Salomon's, and I have two sets. I have one which is a little bit less grippy, as I call it, and one that I use for highly technical, highly wet, highly rock slippability. You're going to kill yourself if you're not wearing these shoes. But you don't need to invest in those initially. But I will suggest the thing with the strong gripping ones, they have a better, I'm going to say they hold your ankle in better, but the biggest thing for all trail running shoes is a rock plate. And if you've ever been just on a regular road and you've hit a rock with your toe in your regular sneakers, you know the pain. So a rock plate is what most trail running shoes have that will prevent that stubbing of your toe against a rock. It still happens, but it will prevent it.
So this is going to be a stupid question. Sorry. So is this like steel toe boots? Like basic, but it protects like the front of your toe.
It does protect it.
It's a harder surface.
I
guess.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just a firm material that's going to prevent you from like jamming your toe.
Yes. And I'm actually going to send a text to somebody to bring me my trail running shoes so I can hold it up.
Yeah. Let's do a little like show and tell on the YouTube video here.
Yes.
I love it.
Hold on. This is the beauty of this. So anyway. But you also, for gear, what you need is, if you're going to go out there longer, a hydration vest. I guess you could get around with a pack, but I carry a lot of stuff and I like my hydration vest. So make sure you invest in a comfortable hydration vest that has a lot of pockets.
Do you have any recommendations as far as, because honestly, I even struggled with this going into some run specialty stores. I noticed that they don't have a lot of options or for vests to like actually try on. Like, have you ever found a store or a place that, okay, I didn't think they existed, but if anyone would know, you would know, because yes, I'm actually in the market for a new vest myself.
Well,
and I was trying, you know, because for me, it is like you mentioned, comfort and one that feels good. And for my kind of body type, it is kind of like weird where it kind of like pinches you in the pecs, the lats, the, you know, it's sometimes you could chafe, right? Like
women
it's really
have
hard.
Issues.
Yeah.
I used to use a Nathan, but the problem with the Nathan was it didn't have enough. I couldn't carry extra water. I still like that one. I'm trying to think which one I use now. it's sitting on the table.
Is that Ultimate Direction by any chance?
No.
Okay.
The thing with the hydration vest is I have said this from the beginning. I like the ones that are open here so that they are adjustable. Mm-hmm. Because as you drink your water, your pack gets looser and you want to tighten it.
Right.
If you have the hydration vest. So I like the ones that are over, you know, over your thing. Can you get me my pack too? Thank you. Don't worry.
No, this is going to be a show and tell episode. I love it.
Yes, yes. So yes. We're just going to bring Steve. All my gear. Yeah, thank you, Steve. All right. So here's the thing. It's a camelback. Now, the thing with the camelback is the hydration vest it came with did not agree with me. So I put my Nathan water
like
in here.
Bladder that holds
the
water.
But
or
this one has a lot of pockets. Like I can fit two full Nathan water things in here on top of the pack. And it has side pockets. So for me, this one is really, really good.
Okay.
But nice. It's going to come down to individuality and what you like and what's comfortable for you. But yep. I have my shoes. I have my examples.
Yeah. So let's talk about this plate here.
All right. This is my trail runner. Looks one of this is the technical one. The bottom, it has a lot more grippy, but I'm going to do something. Nothing like show and tell. So this is my road shoe. Okay. That's my road shoe.
Yeah. Somewhat flexible, so that
trail shoe
cat's doing there, and here she can't
this
bend.
Is my you can,
trail.
But it's not easy.
Just
I mean,
a
you
little
can
bit
see,
in the forefoot,
and you can't
nothing in the midfoot.
You
yeah.
can't or in the ankle. And if you look at this, you can't even twist like this. Whereas,
so it's a firm heel counter. You can't really move it, twist it
like this. I can twist
squishy right
side to side. You cannot with this one. This one, your foot is in here. This is a rock plate. It doesn't feel, you can't feel it. It's on the outside of the shoe. On the inside of the shoe. It's not on the inside of the shoe. You can't feel it. But outside, it's going to stop you.
Right.
So this is key. This is also quick lace system, which I know a lot of people use in their, but you just lace it like that because you can't afford to be, you can't afford to tie shoes and have them come out on a trail. So these are also much more breathable for when you step in water, it just comes out and it like dries. But you can see basically, you can't really see how grippy it is. I wish you could, but this is going to stick. And like I said, you can't move this shoe. This is, and it's not necessarily a stability shoe. I know when we talk about stability shoes, it's usually the millimeter drop. That's not what's key. I don't want to say it's a stability shoe. It's a trail running shoe. So it's going to keep your foot more upright. And
yeah.
You can see, I can't move the back at all. Now, these are the highly, highly, highly technical ones. The less technical ones are similar. They have this, but they're a little more flexible.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have a toe plate, but not as much. Like I'm going to show you.
Okay.
the difference, you can't, this is purple, but this one comes up more. So, but that's basically a trail shoe.
I see. Yeah. So they're not like in the traditional sense of stability shoe that's going to like control like pronation of the foot.
Yeah, no.
It's just more rigid in the materials it has. And it looks like to like provide more ankle stability. So there's less of a chance of someone rolling their ankle when they step on an unstable surface of a root or a rock or something.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Gotcha. Thank
so
you.
So I hope that helped.
Demo. Yeah.
Because it's sometimes hard to visualize. So I would suggest that you get one if you're interested. And Salomon is my go-to. Hoka's a big sponsor of a lot of trail runs. Hoka's a big one. They have great trail shoes. I will only use Salomon. They fit my feet, but that's not what works for everybody. You know, I use Asics. So it just depends on what you want. But that a hydration vest is really important in my opinion, and we'll get into more of the safety issues because actually we transitions into safety. You're going to want, if you're going to be out there for a long time, you may want a battery charger for your phone, because if you, and I'll talk about more long in depth races where you might need that. Headlamps. If you're going to be out there around dusk, which I do not necessarily recommend, but if you are, you get caught, you get lost, you need headlamps. Mm. And I'm going to start talking about, you know, the safety, but I have a Garmin, and I'll talk about that as part of the safety for trail running. But, you know, we could go into safety. There's
so
a
it's
lot
pretty
of that.
Much, yeah, it sounds like in terms of gear, hydration vest, shoes, trail shoes, possibly Garmin,
things
headlamp.
You would have normally as possibly as a runner,
right headlamp, just in case, and then phone charger, portable charger for your phone. Okay.
Yes.
All right, and then this is might be a silly question as well, just because you're talking about like the water going in the shoe and coming out. Are there different socks that you wear as a trail runner, or no? It's like same socks that you would get anti-wicking as a road runner.
It depends. Again, there's no easy answer. I like smart wool socks, but if I'm wearing shorts, I'm wearing the socks that go up all the way to my knees, because sometimes on single track, you will get brush and sticks that if you're not wearing it can like hit your calf or your shins. So I make sure when I'm trail running, I always have socks that go up almost to my knees, especially if I'm in shorts, because you're going to hit sticks, rocks. So that's something to consider as part of, you know, what you might, but I like smart wool. They're really good for when you step in a water, you don't feel it. Just that comes up with what you want to carry in case you do get blisters, because you may experience a lot of moisture and then that causes frictions and causes blisters. So that's part of under my safety.
All right. Excellent. Yeah. So let's get to the safety.
I'm all about the safety. We all know this.
We've done a whole episode on running. I know. Safety, by the way, if someone wants more safety tips, yes. I'll have to link that with this video. Or you can. I always drop the link of for our coaches for previous episodes they've done in training. So I will definitely have Coach Katz link where you're listening to this. And then you'll see all the episodes, whether it was treadmill, safety, how to start running as a beginner. She's done some amazing, amazing content that she's put together. So you can get that safety episode as well. But yeah, let's talk trail running specific safety tips that you have.
Okay. Very different than road running in terms of you're possibly going to need to carry more stuff. Simple one, if your feet gets wet through river crossing, sometimes you can't avoid it. You know, you could step on the rocks, but sometimes there's no getting around it. So your feet are going to get wet. If you're prone to blisters, that friction is going to start causing blisters. So you always want to carry a first aid kit for Band-Aids. I carry a lot of stuff. I'm pulling out my pack right now. I carry a massive amount of stuff, but I always carry Aquaphor. This is a little sample, and I'm not shouting out Aquaphor, but this works. You can put this on any chafing or blisters and then put a Band-Aid. So you always want to carry a Band-Aid with you as well. This is, I carry these KT tape. And again, I don't know if I can say these names, but I am. KT tape has blister. They're blister things. I carry one of these or two. They're made for blisters that will totally waterproof a blister on a run. And they're thin. They come in individual like this, and they're KT brand. There's a lot of Band-Aid makes them. A lot of people make them. But these are performance ones, so I find that they stay on a little better. But they're great for blister relief. So I carry one of these. And if you're road running, you're going to want to carry this. I mean, and if you're there on Sunday, I got these.
All right.
So
Sunday is the Cheshire Half Marathon here locally, and a lot of our group training athletes are running that, who are doing our group half marathon program. And if you're not in that program, I might as well just tell you to save the date for July 17th, because that's the day that we're going to launch our next group training opportunity for a fall half marathon. So if you want in on group coaching with our team, save the date, mark it down on your calendar right now, July 17th. There'll be literally 6 days for you to join our crew, who's going to be training all the rest of the summer for a fall half marathon. Sorry, please do continue.
Okay. So other safety tips you want to keep in mind is that, and this also, a lot of these dovetail into it, but major differences, you're on a trail. It's not clearly marked. You're not on a road. You have no cues. What you need to pay attention to is if you're on the blue trail, the red trail, the white trail, you have to pay attention to those markers. You have to be looking while you're running blue, 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 so that you don't get lost. Inevitably, you might. But so that brings me up to, people always tell me they have their All Trails app on their phone, which I have. Wonderful. But you may not be able to get signal. Print out a paper copy of whatever trail you are running on. This will be invaluable to you if you get lost. Say you're started on the blue trail, you end up on a green trail. You look at it, where your green is. Is there an intersection? You do need to be able to read a map. But I'm just saying, because I know some people aren't great at maps, but you need to learn or bring somebody who knows how to read a map, and not really technical maps, but print out a paper copy of the trail. Even if you think you know where you're going, you never go wrong with that. And All Trails has every race out there, every route. But if you lose signal, you're not going to have a lot of luck. So I print the maps out. That's something for safety. The other thing for safety, first aid kit, you know, I carry KT tape, because just in case I do really injure myself, you know, I might need to stabilize my leg somehow. I've read and studied how to stabilize my leg to get out of a situation. But you might even want that, you know, silly thing. My sunglasses broke. I used KT tape.
There you go.
Put my sunglasses back together. And see, a lot of this
MacGyver.
That's my nickname. A lot of things are very light. Like, you just cut off strips, so it doesn't add a lot of weight to it. If you're going out around sunset, you still think you have an hour or so, headlamp. I always carry a headlamp in my pack when I'm going out closer to night. I have a Garmin. I love my Garmin. It has an emergency beacon where it will text my emergency contact if I press the button and let them know I'm in trouble. And it says, do you want to let them know, yes or no, in case you do it by accident? And if I don't respond, it will send my GPS coordinates to whoever is my emergency contact so they can find me. And, you know, the Garmin has, there's two systems. There's a GPS system and a higher system. Garmin taps into the second system if it needs to in the emergency contact situation. So also for safety, if you say get kidnapped, that button is getting pushed, you know, because it'll have my location without saying anything. It'll give me my GPS coordinates. I know Apple Watches are good for that, but this is just the Forerunner. It also has an out and back option. So I hit trail run, and then you can do an out and back. It'll have a map to kind of direct you back. So those are just basic safety. Animal safety, you may encounter bears. I encountered Harold the Snapping Turtle on a paved trail, so who knows?
That turtle was huge, by the way.
That was so cute. I loved Harold.
He was big, though.
I know. I'm used.
I can't believe. Yeah, so that's like the same trail that I've run on. And I'm like, I've never seen a turtle that big.
That's because I talk to the animals. We all know that. But you might encounter bear. The biggest risk you're going to probably encounter are snakes. I mean, you have to, you know, most animals are going to stay away from you. You stay away from them. But be aware if they are there. And you should probably run with a buddy initially until you're really comfortable with where you're going. And let everybody know where you're going. Say, I'm going to this trail. So that at least they can get there. They see your car. They know whether you're still on the trail or not.
Okay. Makes sense.
And it's not to be scary. I don't want it to seem scary. But when you're doing trails, you are much more isolated. There are not people around. There's not cars driving by. You know, so you're going to have to more rely on your own ability. So the more you pack, the better off you are. You may never need it. Hopefully you never need it.
Right. Okay. Yeah, no, I think those are all solid safety tips and things that probably most people wouldn't necessarily consider. Any other safety tips?
Know your route before you're going. Know if you're in over your head. If it says highly technical, be careful. Check the elevation because you don't want to get in over your head and not be able to get out. There's always rescue. Even Sleeping Giant in Connecticut has rescues regularly because people get, you know, they do a trail for hiking that they're not capable of. So don't overestimate what trails can do in nature. Nature is unforgiving. I love nature. I'm out in nature, but it can be unforgiving. So make sure you're kind of humble with it. Like, make sure that you're not doing something that's outside of your realm. And I'm not saying don't get out of your comfort level, but make sure you're doing it safely.
Right. I hope you are enjoying this episode and it is providing value for you. I wanted to take a brief moment to share a story of a real runner like you who is struggling with a common problem that you may be facing. Here is one of our athletes who got the guidance, support, and accountability from our Healthy Runner coaching team to get clarity and structure on the 6 steps to growing as a runner with personalized strength, nutrition, and run plans. I hope their story inspires you that there is hope to either get over your running injury or to continue getting faster or running longer so you can continue to get in those mental clearing miles and enjoy your running journey again. Here is their inspiring story.
Hello, everybody. My name is Dinah and I'm from Southwest Florida. And I started my running journey a long time ago. It was just for my health and to lose weight. And I was running about 3 to 5 miles. Nothing big, just to keep me going. 2 years ago, I decided to run a half marathon. And I registered for that. And I trained myself. And I thought by YouTube and running groups and walk and run method and or the couch to 5K. And I really went to the half marathon and I did it. I walked and I run and I hurt my hamstring. And but I thought I was okay. It's like, all right, I did it. I mean, I was proud of myself. I was able to accomplish the goal of running a half marathon. So I went from running only 1, 2, 3 miles to a half. I could not run. My hamstring was really bothering me. To the point that I had to walk more than run. So the pain or the pinch, like I mentioned to Coach Dwayne, it was a pinch, but that pinch started getting stronger. And that's when I decided to call Coach Dwayne and the Healthy Spark Running Group. So he introduced me to Coach Kat. And I said, okay, so let's do this. I committed to the plan. I committed to listen to them and follow the instructions. And I was a little nervous in the beginning. I'm like, okay, let's see, what can I do? And they made a plan just for me, that plan that I was following. They asked me my goal. What exactly is my goal? And I said, I want to run nonstop. I want to be able to run. I want to be able to enjoy that half marathon with no pain. That pain was bothering me. And I had, on top of that, I had in my mind, how am I going to run on the treadmill and train for the outside? I did not believe that was possible. So I started following Coach Kat. She guided me. She told me exactly what to do. She was always there for me. She was always answering my questions, my concerns. And I started the plan. The first week, I'm like, okay, I do listen to the podcast on my long runs. And I remember listening to Coach Latoya saying in one of the podcasts, she said, you have to trust the process. Trust the people that know. Trust the process. And that stuck in my mind. And I said, okay, let me give this a try. Let me actually follow every single step. Let me do exactly the restore movements I need to do. Let me go on the treadmill and let me work on my hamstrings the way they are asking me to do. And by week three, my goodness, what a difference. I started doing better. I started running longer. I started getting a little bit more stronger and stronger. And to the point that when the half marathon came, I was able to do it. And guess what? I ran the half marathon nonstop with no pain. Well, pain. The pain went away. It was amazing. Coach Kat, my goodness, she's my superhero. She is amazing. And my hamstring, the pain is, I'm completely pain-free. I am very, very grateful to everybody, to the Healthy Spark, Healthy Group, and the coaching group. Thank you so much. I wasn't able to do this without you. And I will continue my running journey. I'm not going to stop now. This is just the beginning. And I do love running. It gives me peace. But I want to keep running and getting stronger. So thank you. I hope I inspire someone. And I hope that I can continue letting you know my stories with the Spark Healthy Running Group. I love you all, and blessings, and thank you. Bye-bye.
I hope sharing that story inspired you and provided you some hope. If you want the one-on-one structure, accountability, and support from our Healthy Runner coaching team of experts, check out the behind-the-scenes video tour of our signature coaching program you just heard about, including other stories from runners who are just like you and were struggling with the same sticking points before they signed up for our program. Just head to learn.sparkhealthyrunner.com to learn more and book your strategy call with me today. Now let's get back into this episode. Yeah, let's go to some of the like major differences between road running and trail running. Okay.
One of the biggest things, and I caution all road runners, especially if you live your life based on your paces. We all know runners, and this is not a lot of runners do, but you live and die literally on what your paces are. You want to hit a pace every single time. If that's your goal, you're going to be disappointed on a trail because your ego is going to take a hit. And it's not a negative. It doesn't mean you're not fit. It just means that with trails, you're going to have to be more aware of the ground. You're going to have to stop maybe to see, you may not be able to see a marker. You're going to have to stop and say, hey, did I just pass a marker and backtrack? So your pace is going to get slower just by the nature of it. Even if you're still, but you're still going to be exerting yourself. Trust me, you're going to be exhausted. But your pace is going to look slower. And if you really live and die and it affects you that much, just be prepared for it to be a little bit of an eye opener, is that your pace is going to be slower. That's the biggest thing I think people have to adjust to. I never have been. I'm very aware of my paces, but it never affected me. But what your trail race pace versus, you know, you might be hiking up a hill sometimes. You cannot run up the hill. You might be hiking it. And your pace is going to be 15-minute mile when normally you can run a 10-minute mile. So just be aware that your pace is going to be down. And it's no reflection on you. It's a reflection of the route and the fact that you have to be more cautious. You know, you have to pay attention to a lot more things. That's one of the biggest differences, in my opinion, other than the terrain.
So how do you recommend runners guide their effort level, or like the main intention of the run? Let's say it's an easy run, right? Like, how should RP. If you can't go by pace, okay, so RP. Utilizing rating of perceived exertion, okay.
Use your RPE scale. It doesn't matter what your pace is, because my coach said a 5-mile run can take you on the road 45 minutes to an hour, right? A 5-mile run. On trails, it can take you an hour to 2 hours, depending on what the terrain is. But your RPE, you can be climbing and climbing and climbing, and you're out of breath. But right. You're only going at a snail's pace in your mind. But it's your RPE. So an easy, you want to keep in mind your rate of perceived exertion scale and stick to that no matter what the pace is. That's going to be, especially when you first start, because you're not going to have an idea of what your paces are.
Right.
When you first start.
Right. Okay. So that's a good guide to use. All right. Yeah. Any other differences that you want to highlight?
Bathrooms. I know a lot of runners. I'm not one of the, I don't know how, but I never use the bathroom ever when I'm running or racing.
Wow.
Before or after maybe, but never in any of my races. Never. No matter how long they are. I don't know if that's good or bad, but we're not going to question that. But if you run the road, you're used to stopping at a Dunkin' Donuts, McDonald's, Wendy's, Starbucks. I'm not playing favorites. Any fast food place to use the bathroom. There are no bathrooms on a trail. Some trailheads, which is the start. By the way, a trailhead is the start of the trail, in case you hear a trailhead. There may not be a bathroom at the start of the trail. So look that up ahead of time. Find that out before, because there's usually a Dunkin' Donuts, a McDonald's, or a Wendy's before you get to the park. So use your advantage there, just saying. So you may have, and I have, I have a tree farm. It doesn't faze me, but it might for some people who have never not had the advantage of a bathroom. And it might be a little too much information, but let me tell you, you're going to be in the woods. Carry tissues, you know, or something like that.
Little paper, yeah.
Or even wet wipes. Wet wipes have served dual purposes. They can clean up cuts if you get cut or scratches, if you're sweating, and they can be used in lieu of toilet paper.
There you go.
Anyone wants to come trail running with me, we're fine. I got everything. You don't have to carry a thing. But that's something that a lot of people don't realize when they start on trails. And it might not be an issue if you're going out for under an hour. But if you get lost, just be aware that it's not, you know, it's not necessarily, you're not going to see a bathroom.
Right.
So that's something that people don't always, you know, maybe realize when you're trail running. And it seems, it's almost like it's obvious until you get there. Like, you don't think about the bathroom situation.
Right.
And runners are obsessed with porta potties. You ask a runner where the porta potty is in a 10-mile radius, they will point out which ones and rate them. So obviously, porta potties are important to runners. So I'm just saying, there's not a lot of them out there.
Yep. Yeah. So what other differences besides pacing, bathrooms?
Again, coming back to, you have to pay attention to the markers. There's not going to be an obvious road telling you to take a left or a right. You're going to have to pay attention to markers. So get familiar with seeing little pieces or strips of reflective or paint on trees. They are usually high up. It goes with the hiking, but if there's a double marker on one color, it means it's the trail is going to branch off. So if you ever see two markers, one on top of the other, keep in mind that the trail is about to branch off and stick to the color that you are on. That's going to be something that if you want, it's more of a hiking thing, but there are guides to that. And again, I can help people with that. Mm-hmm. The other difference we touched on is you're going to see more animals. I have an EpiPen because I'm allergic to bees, and I have encountered a lot more bees' nests on trails. I've avoided them. I almost got stung by one, which is scary when you're on a trail, but there's a lot more chance to get stung by that. A lot more animals. You're not going to get poison ivy running on the road. So one of the things that is the other reason I wear the socks up to my knees, because there might be poison ivy along routes. There's also ticks. You know, there's a lot of stuff. Bug spray is a necessity. Bug spray, bug spray, bug spray. Hat, because spider webs. I don't like those. So a hat is always a good option. But, you know, bug spray, check yourself for ticks. Basically what you do for a hike, but you're going to be trail running. So, you know, you might encounter weeds that just annoy you. They're not poison ivy, but maybe they give you a rash. So that is why I recommend, or wear leggings, you know, if you want to wear leggings. I don't like leggings, so I usually wear shorts with the socks up to my knees.
Yep.
Those are really some of the major differences, and those are differences.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And how about like specific running workouts, like versus, you know, running on the road as opposed to running on the trail? What are some of the differences in the workouts?
At the core, there really isn't a lot of difference, but because you're still running, I do most of my run. Right now it's 50-50, and I'll get into why. But if you're going to be running trails, my suggestion is get out on trails, but don't necessarily do your running if you're just starting on the trails. Save your running and your endurance and your speed work for what you're comfortable with, the flats. Add trails as a hiking, easy run to get used to the terrain first. And if you're training for a race, your coach is going to direct you to do, I still do speed workouts. My speed workouts look a little different. They are on technical. I do hill repeats on uphill trails. My speed workout could be, you know, a 30-second sprint on trails. But I didn't start off with that. I still suggest you start off with, do all that work fast, anything like that, hill sprints on regular ground. What I do now is, well, during the week, I would like to get to trails more, but most trails close at sunset and I don't get home till 7 o'clock. So just by the nature of my life, I have to do either treadmill or road running during the week. Except for Fridays, I get and I go to Sleeping Giant, or I do hill, I run up and down Sleeping Giant. Sundays, what I do now, and this is breaking one of my safety protocols by telling you what I normally do. This is really breaking my protocol, but I'm not telling you when I go. I do, if I have a run, mine is all time-based, and I'll get to that about races, but a lot of trail runners do a time-based workout rather than mileage. So if I'm doing a 2-hour run, I will spend an hour, I'll park at Brooksvale, I'll run an hour on the paved canal trail, and then do an hour on trails, which are connected right to the, you can go off course and go right into the trails. Or I will park at Todd Street, run around there, and then run up Sleeping Giant. So right now I'm lucky where I live that on days when I have the time, usually Saturday or Sunday, I will do both. I will do a paved trail and mix it with a technical trail, because I still am a I still like road running. I mean, I'm not going to give up road running to go exclusively trail, even though all my races are trail and I find them better. for practical purposes, I can't always run trails. I mean, it's, if I wanted to run now at 8:20, it's pitch black out. I'm not going to be able to go out to a trail. So I will do an incline on my treadmill to simulate hills. But that is what workouts look like. So you're still going to have your workouts on the road, especially if you're training, but you're going to want to hit the trails at the same time, if that makes sense to people.
Mm-hmm.
I do a track workout. I do track workouts at a track. I do trail workouts. I do road trackouts. Workouts. So I do all of them. I do, as the weather gets better and it stays lighter, I will do a lot more trails.
Okay. Yeah. And let's shift gears to the nutrition bucket of our six steps to growing as a runner.
Okay.
You know, what are some fueling differences for trail running?
Yeah. This is going to be controversial, but trail racing, so much better food. So much better
food.
That's
what I hear.
Oh, my God. If you're going to be going out, say, for a regular hour, two-hour run, I use my normal fueling. So I have my Cliff blocks with me. I have my candy. I have my salt tabs, which are vital for me right now. So if I'm going out for even a race like that, if it's under 4 hours, maybe 3 hours, you can use your normal nutrition and you could just fuel properly the way you normally would. However, if you're going to do endurance trail events or races, 10, 12, 24 hours, you need to fuel completely different. Gels, let me tell you, they're not going to work after about, like, you're going to want real food. So this is where the fun begins. I carry, and everyone who knows me knows that I've had such issues with my stomach. My new best friend, actually my old best friend, is mashed potatoes with butter and salt and dill pickles. So don't knock it, people. I've been at races and you'll see mashed potatoes, potato chips. I had a guy who was carrying gnocchi, which is potato pasta. Potatoes are the great. They have sports spuds was the original one, but I carry mashed potatoes for my long 10, 12 hour races. I use that. You can eat real food. A lot of people eat peanut butter and jelly. Those Uncrustables, you know, they're frozen and then they're in packages. So they don't, granola bars, candy, cakes, pizza, you name it. Any food you want, quesadillas. I've had grilled cheese at races. Grilled cheese is great. Oh my God. Trust me, real food is the biggest difference for races that are a longer duration, which a lot of trail races are. But if you're just starting out, you don't really need to worry too much about the differences. But if you are going to go into it, then be aware you're going to need to be eating a lot more to sustain yourself.
Yeah, that makes sense. And yeah, taking in more carbohydrates, more calories, and it is more kind of regular food versus just gels or drinking your calories. Yes. Okay. Got it. What about, I know you mentioned headphones before.
Yes.
That you use headphones. Anything that you want to highlight with that specific
trails? Be very
trails?
Careful. Read the rules carefully. A lot of trail races do not let you wear headphones for safety reasons.
Oh, okay.
Because I will use them. You know, I use them in all the races I've been in. But keep
so
in mind.
You break the rules, you're telling me? You're a rule?
No. Breaker? My races don't. Well, I might be. But my races don't have that rule. I think I would probably not do a race if that was a rule. But because I need my music. But I also keep one thing off. Because you have to hear the runner behind you. You have to hear if somebody's screaming on your left. You have to be aware of possibly. You have to pay more attention to your surroundings when you're on a trail. It's unforgiving. So you have to have your wits about you. You can't get into a song and not listen or you be focused on the song and not pay attention to the terrain or the marker or a person behind you or an animal. So a lot of places do not recommend headphones as a safety issue. just keep that in mind. If you're on your own, whatever you do is fine. But if you are in a race, just read those rules carefully.
Okay. Yeah. And speaking of rules, any other rules for races that you want to highlight besides the headphones?
Not rules, but I'll talk about a little bit about my experiences and stuff. Yeah. Why I personally like more of and the ones I've done. I don't know if we want to go into that just yet.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. Unless,
well, yeah, there are the one other rule I probably should mention, and this comes into I've done timed races where they're kind of like called backyard ultras, which means you run loops and you have the loops can be any distance and you have a certain set amount of time to complete as many loops as you can. Those are the ones I enjoy the most because there's a lot less stress than, say, I have to run a 50K or 100K in
right.
so much time. Because all of the races, even a backyard ultra, has cutoff times. So what do I mean by that? If you are running loops and you have like 11 hours, in order for that last loop to count, you have to finish before the cutoff time. You have to finish. If the race ends at 6 p.m. and you start the race, you start the next loop at 5:30 and you get to the finish line at 6:20, it doesn't count.
Hmm.
So if you are going for a specific distance to get a medal, because a lot of races, you need a specific distance to get a medal, or you try to qualify for other endurance races, you have cutoff times. So if you want to get a marathon distance in 8 hours, you bet, and your loop is maybe a 4 mile loop, and it takes you about an hour to do that, you need to start playing in your head, can I get that last loop in before the race ends? Because it will not count. It does not count once wow. that time goes off.
Interesting.
So that is something to keep in mind. And that is something that you have to start doing mental math, your first loop. If your first loop takes 2 hours and you want to get six loops in there, you know that last loop, you're going to be struggling. So keep an eye on how long your loops do if there's a cutoff time. A lot of other 100 milers, because there are 100 milers, there's even 200 milers. We're not even going to that, but they they require you to hit certain mile markers at certain cutoff times. If you don't cut it, they pull you off the course. Kind of like RemaCon. Lou, Mike, shout out. They will pull you from the course if you don't hit those. So that is another rule you want to keep in mind in races. But yeah, that's the other thing I probably should have mentioned a little bit before.
Yeah. Any other trail racing specific tips that you want to give?
Most trail races are very small, and that's what I love. I do not like people know I get panic attacks in large crowds. So the Rocky Run had 8,000 people. I was, Irene, a shout out to you. I was trying to get every single breathing technique. My husband actually jumped up a corral. He was in a corral behind me. He jumped up because I was having panic attacks in that big of a crowd. The Rocky Run is my great, but I was having a panic attack because there's too many people. So trail runs, a lot less, much more relaxed atmosphere, really, really relaxed atmosphere. In terms, you have competitive people, don't get me wrong. They're at least the ones I've run, you have very competitive people. But for the most part, it's a much more relaxed atmosphere. And when you're running, you're going to be by yourself. There's not crowd support, except if it is a loop or whatever. There's certain places where you have your members, your friends. But there's not a lot of people around you, which for me is great.
Mm-hmm.
You also can have a crew that has your gear bags, and they can... Trail races are very, very different. If you're doing a point-to-point, you're going to have a crew who will man at different stations with all of your stuff. If you're doing a looped race, you can usually just have your stuff in one central location and come back to it every time you loop. So there's not a lot of people on these. you know, there's not a lot of people to maybe cheer you on. If that's what you feed off of crowd support, you're not going to have as much. There are less people, which, like I said, for me is great. The atmosphere, I'll have a conversation with the runner for maybe one loop who's my pace. We're talking about life. I take a little bit of a break at the loop. They go on and you don't see them again for like hours. And you're like, so it is it's a very different environment. And again, for me, I find it works really well with my mental state of running.
Yeah, it just kind of gets more in a relaxed, like calm kind of mental state.
And don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean I'm not going fast. It doesn't mean that you're going at a slower pace.
Right.
You might because of the train. But you're not using any less effort. I mean, some of my long endurance trail runs, I'm dead. I feel more exhausted in a sense than I did from running a marathon. And sometimes I go beyond marathon distance.
Right.
I'm not going to mention the next goal.
Oh boy. It sounds like it is easier to get like more of that mental clearing.
Yeah. For me.
And, yeah. Yeah.
Not everybody, but my whole point of this is that if you are a road runner and you love road running, you don't have to give up road running. Stay with road running. You know, do all of your workouts on roads, but add a trail here or there, and you may find you really, really enjoy it, and you want to explore more and more trail running options. It's not a one size fits all. I am a road and a trail runner. My preference right now is definitely trail, but I started out obviously on a road. And if that's what you like, don't give that up. You don't have to. You don't have to do one or the other, which I think there's a lot of misconception, trail runners, road runners. You don't have to do one or the other. You can do both. It is possible.
Yeah, I love it. Oh, man. And I think that's honestly a great way to kind of wrap up here is sharing that misconception that you need to do one or the other.
You do not.
Is there anything else that you know, that we haven't really shared that you wanted to share with our listeners before we wrap up?
No, just like I said, you don't have to stop road running if you really like it. You can just add a trail once a week, maybe, you know, just for and see if you like it. Get out with nature. Be a kid again. You do get to go into puddles. Yeah, and then let me tell you, New England this year with the mud, oh my God, the mud is great. I have mud up to my ankles, and I'm laughing every time I'm stepping in the mud. Although, quick story, I will not, very rarely now do I fall over rocks and sticks. I will fall on mud in a heartbeat. That thing is the slipperiest stuff you've ever met. But I love mud. Like, and you're a kid. Like, I step in mud and I start laughing hysterically. I'm like, mud. It's because your feet squish. Now, that might gross a lot of people out, but I guess, I don't know, farm girl, who knows. But mud is, so have fun with it. Like, I feel like not a little kid, but I feel freer in that. But yet, if somebody said you couldn't run roads anymore, I would be disappointed too, because there's a certain safety for me. And I've run roads almost my whole running career. I get on the trail. I know what I'm doing. You know, I know how my pace is. I know what my RP5 is I'm very familiar with my paces, what my tempo pace is, what my interval pace is, what my long run pace is on pavement. So there is a familiarity and a comfort level that, ooh, okay, I can go faster now. But there's also the fun part of trail running. So if you are interested in it, you know, don't be afraid of it. Just take precautions and reach out to a more experienced trail runner. I reached out to Kim from the Inspired Souls when I wanted to start. She's definitely more experienced than me. So if somebody is curious, they want to reach out to me, that's great. But reach out to somebody who has experience with it to help guide you.
Yeah, no, and I think that's a great segue too. If, you know, you do want like structured guidance and you want to learn how to implement, you know, trail running into the mix with your road running, and you want to get like some clarity, focus from Coach Kat within our Healthy Runner coaching program, you can learn more about that program by just going to learn.sparkhealthyrunner.com/coaching. Kat, this was amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your trail running tips for roadrunners. Mm-hmm. Always a pleasure to chat and catch up. And I know this will be extremely helpful for many runners out there. So I appreciate you.
And I do just want to say I am training for a 12-hour endurance race. So
wow, that is amazing.
Just so people know, we'll talk about that another time. But I'm practicing what I'm preaching. Let's put it that way.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's why you are the expert. All right. Open this up as right.
Okay.
You are.
I'll take it.
Guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If it was helpful for you, my call to action to you today is maybe drop a little review where you're listening to this, whether it is on Apple Podcast or Spotify. Just hit literally Spotify. There isn't written reviews. It's a star rating. Like, just go and like hit the star and give us what you think we deserve. It just help us be able to help more runners just like you learn, you know, topics on staying healthy as a runner. And as in this case, like transitioning and adding in some trail running into the mix. So we would appreciate that. And as always, guys, let's maintain a strong mind, a strong body, and let's just keep on running, maybe into the trails. Until next time.
Bye.
Thank you, as always, for listening to the Healthy Runner Podcast, where we help you get stronger, run faster, and enjoy lifelong injury-free running. If you found this content valuable, here's 5 ways we can help you grow as a runner for free. 1, grab a free copy of my Spark Blueprint at learn.sparkhealthyrunner.com. 2, follow my Instagram page at Spark Healthy Runner. 3, join my free group by searching Healthy Runner on Facebook. 4, subscribe to my YouTube channel at youtube.com/SparkHealthyRunner. 5, leave us a 5-star review so we can gain access to more experts in the running field and bring those lessons back to you here. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button on Apple Podcast or the follow button on Spotify so you don't miss the next episode of Healthy Runner, so you can maintain a strong mind, a strong body, and just keep running. Lastly, if you've been struggling with the constant injury cycle, not eating the right foods for running, or not getting faster as a runner, and you are ready to invest in becoming a lifelong injury-free runner, head to sparkhealthyrunner.com to apply for a 1-on-1 signature coaching program. Thank you again. I mean it from the bottom of my heart that I appreciate you for listening and sharing this podcast with a running friend who can use the help. Now go and crush your run today. See you next week.